Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, Apple, Spotify, YouTube as well. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. It's 2022, and my co-host is here, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Good evening.
How has your New Year's been so far, Nicole?
It's been good. I'm just getting focused on putting out my book of poetry. I started a TikTok, so that's brand new. We'll see how that goes. Trying to get in touch with a younger audience, but I don't really know what that's like. Not that I'm that old, I just not that young.
It's you're not getting any younger, but we have a TikTok as well. I have a TikTok, and I don't hit myself in the nuts, and I don't chase cats around, and I don't lip sync to songs. So I don't know what to do on there, but
You have like 600 views on some of that, so you're doing something right.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I got left behind with the Twitch and now we're on the TikTok, and I know there's something out there that everybody's on that we don't know about. But anyway, enough of that. It's 2022. This is our first show in 2022, and you know, people always ask me, "What is this show about? What is your podcast about?" Because apparently, everything has to have a one-page summary. And our show is The Lighter Side of the Dark Side. But basically, what it is interesting people in Hollywood. There's certain people you'll only meet in Hollywood. Hollywood hyphen, it's for the most part, because we always have people that are actors, writers, directors, comedians, all sorts of things. Nicole, today we have the ultimate hyphenate. There's nobody that has more hyphens than this lady. She is an actress, voiceover artist. Wait, there's more. She is a model. She's a burlesque dancer. She's a makeup artist. She's a graphic artist. She's a host. She does stand-up comedy. She does theater. She does everything. She's worked from every, if IMDb is correct, because I don't believe her age, she's worked with everybody from Danny Thomas to Tommy Wiseau. It's Joyce Lynn Liu.
Woo!
Hi, Joyce Lynn.
Hi.
Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. Is that all correct, what I just said?
Yes, I'm a magician too, though.
Now you tell me. Oh my God, she's a magician. Maybe we'll get a trick out of her. We'll see what happens. But I will tell you, though, if you want some real magic, you need to do what I did. And unfortunately, I don't have that magic touch because it's coming tomorrow based on the delivery. But drink Raise energy drinks. If you want to wake up the right way, and I've tried every energy drink. I've tried Rockstar, Monster, all of them, Bang, all of them. This is the best. Raise energy drinks. I wish I had a can I could show everybody. But I have some Baja Lime coming. A 12-pack, I will have that next week in the weeks to come. It's delicious. It tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell. But the best part, zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. And if you look at the show description on any podcast catcher on YouTube, there's a link where you get 15% off your first case of Raise energy drinks. Trust me, this will wake you up like nothing ever. It's like a slap in the face. It's amazing. Raise energy drinks, R-A-Z-E. And I forgot to say, you're a YouTuber too. I missed another hyphen. Joyce Lynn is a YouTuber who has a cooking show on YouTube. I guess we'll start there because I was watching a few of those.
It's also on Amazon Prime, but it's called Cooking In with Joyce Lynn, which is perfect because you can cook in when you're, you know, stuck in your house.
Yes, as most of us are, because of the coronavirus. Although, you've managed to get some pretty interesting people to your house, including a couple that come to mind right off the top of my head, our old friend Count Smokula.
Yes, I know you know him. And I have a printing company, too, called Final Print, and Smokey used to work for me. And I just spoke to him last night, and he said to say hi.
Yeah, tell Smokey I said hi. We got to have him on the show very soon, and because I lost touch with him, I didn't know what he was doing. I think he had some health problems. By the way, Nicole, if you don't know who Smokey is, and I don't know if our audience does, he is He's been around forever. He's the wacky vampire. He has an accordion. He sings. He's wonderful.
And he wrote a hot chocolate song, and he said we should do a music video on this hot chocolate song because I put him on when I was the witch, and he was Count Smokula.
And that was the Halloween show, yes.
He also wrote a song for me when I do my stand-up as Mae West. Well, it's Mae East. It's an Asian slant on Mae West. Mae East.
No pun intended. But
He wrote a song for me. He always does that. He writes a lot of fun songs.
You inspire him. That's what it is.
So I go, was that an egg roll in your pocket? Are you just glad to see me?
I don't think there's an egg roll in his pocket. I think he's happy to see you.
Oh, I think it could be both. But, I'd probably eat it if I found it because I'm an eater.
Well, that's the thing. Now you have this cooking show and you're cooking hot chocolate and custard and all this stuff. And yet you have this amazing figure, as I said, and you're in such great shape. You have a calendar out. You do burlesque. You do modeling still. How do you cook all these like sugary, fatty things and still stay as thin as you are?
I don't sleep much. I stay up usually till 3 in the morning almost every night. And then I get up, I do my jazz class Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:30 to 11:30. So I'm like on the go all the time. I'm always hungry. I swear to God, I'm so hungry. I always like to eat things, and I just like things that really taste good. So I like to flavor.
I was going to say, I thought I had a secret for Nicole. Just don't sleep, but no, you're one of these people that just has that metabolism that you can eat everything, huh?
It's true. It's embarrassing. I went out with my dad's friend. I guess he hadn't seen me eat before. And he goes, you could tell me if things are bad. This is serious. You haven't eaten a long time. And I said, breakfast. Really? I had breakfast. He goes, come on, you can tell me. And I was so embarrassed because I had already eaten breakfast and he thought I hadn't literally eaten for like a long time. And he said that, and Alexander Lear, I'm sure you know him, Gemini Manor. Well, anyway, I was at a party at his house last Saturday and he said, you don't need anything, do you? And I said, you need to talk to my friend because he'll disagree. Because we were in Palm Springs and I was eating these cookies and it was 1 o'clock in the morning and my friend goes, why are you not fat?
So, and you don't know why you're not fat.
I guess because I have a fast metabolism.
I guess so. You're one of the lucky ones. And you don't age either. That's the other thing. Because I don't want to say what IMDb says is your birthday, but it can't be right.
I know. It's crazy. My girlfriend said, somebody put that on there and you can't change it. So I just went, whatever.
So it is wrong.
Well, it's kind of wrong, but whatever. It's kind of interesting, though. Oh, I see you now with the better lighting.
Yeah, I forgot to put the light on. I was reveling.
Yeah, what a difference.
I apologize.
Is this everybody. Good lighting? Okay.
Trust me, I would rather them see the two of you beautiful women than me anytime, but I guess I got to pop in here every now and then. Here's the other thing, Nicole. Who's about the last person you would let in your house to make custard with you? Nicole?
Probably Bill Cosby.
Close. Joyce Lynn had Andy Dick come in to her house and make custard with her.
That's funny.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, I guess Bill Cosby's coming on next week. But how did you get Andy Dick to come on the cooking show?
My friend just asked him if he wanted to be on my show, and he said yes. And I didn't even meet him before that, and he was kind of, drinking and stuff.
Oh, you got the drunk Andy Dick.
How did you get Andy Dick to get on your show? I said, well, I just started. And I said, well, I'm good with him because I used to teach kindergarten.
Is that what it is? He's a good kindergarten teacher?
Yeah, his favorite dessert is custard. And I didn't know that. But it just was a coincidence. That's what I was making. And his girlfriend, I guess at the time, she loved Melanie, the singer, I've Got a Brand New Pair of Roller Skates.
Right.
And she's a friend of mine. So I called her up. And I put them on the phone. It was just a coincidence that all these people, that I know just connected.
You must know everybody in Hollywood. I saw on YouTube, there's a roast of you. And there were a few celebrities. Like James Hong was there. And
yeah. I mean, And he wanted to roast me. He's getting a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame this year.
As he should.
Yeah.
Nicole knows James Hong, right?
Yeah. I don't know him. If you're asking if I know who he is, I know who he is. I don't know him personally.
Well, I've known him since I was a little girl, and I did a lot of things. I did a stage play with him. I've done, you know, movies and that Kung Fu series. I had the actually largest female role ever written, and he was on the show too. So there's a lot of people. You know, there's only so many Asian actors, I guess. And so everybody kind of knows everybody.
Right. Now let's go back to Andy Dick, who is not an Asian actor, because I want to, before we move on, because I want to talk about Kung Fu, I want to talk about all this, but and James Hong. But you said, because I've seen Andy Dick, both Andy Dicks, the straight, really funny, really talented Andy Dick, who was in rehab when I saw him, and very nice, and the drunk, stoned, out of control Andy Dick, who has a propensity to show his penis to people and things like that. Did he get inappropriate because you said he was a little drunk?
No, he actually was perfectly fine because I guess he really liked my custard and he messed up on the cinnamon. But he goes, oh, that'll be mine because he spilled like too much. And then afterwards, we went to a party and I, you know, was able to get him a ride to this party that I was going to anyway. So he liked it. So he stayed.
Yeah, that seems like Andy Dick. Yeah, if you can give me a ride, I'll go to the party. Yeah, that sounds like him. But I'm glad it was a good experience that you didn't, because I would imagine probably at that end of the party you would get the other Andy Dick that.
Luckily, I left him at the party.
Yes. By the way, pro tip: leave Andy Dick at the party. Trust me on this one.
I mean, I was really lucky that he didn't go crazy, but he was pretty good. He was pouring my custard and he was doing everything. I was giving him instructions.
Well, you say that, but the first half of the video, he's off camera.
Oh, that's because he was drinking vodka. And and I was like, well, I'm just going to start. And I figure, you know, he'll just come on it when he's ready. And then, you know, I guess he wanted to be on the show. So then he just decided to come in the middle. Well, it wasn't in the middle. It was only maybe 5 minutes, you know. I go, yeah, I'm just going to start without him. Because that's how you do it, you know. You just keep going.
And you were a pro. You got to see this, Nicole. Because in the kitchen, and she's like, well, you know, here's a cooking show. And then you put cinnamon, you put this. And then you hear off camera, it's like, I'll be there in a second. And then,
I've met Andy Dick. It's been a story. Andy Dick is a character.
Yeah,
adventure.
It depends. And we lost your video for some reason, Joyce.
Yes,
I'm not sure. There we go. That's back.
Oh, you know what?
I hope he gets help for his problems, because when he's straight, he's brilliant. He's very funny and very nice. But he's just somebody that can't really handle drinking and drugs,
I didn't really know this about him, so I just treated him like a normal person. I guess that's a secret.
Because I was on his internet show. I've done a comedy shows with him, and he was great, real nice, super guy. And then I've also walked down the street and had him wave his dick at me. So, you know, that's kind of the way it goes. But
I miss that.
And this is something that James Hong has never done. Now, you brought up James Hong, and I got to tell you, I went to Monsterpalooza a few years ago, and I was surprised that the biggest line of any celebrity, and he was right next to Rutger Hauer, who got nothing, was for James Hong.
Wow. Well, people, he's done over 400 movies.
Yeah. So, I had to Wikipedia him to make sure he was still alive. He's still alive.
Oh, yeah. And he wanted to roast me. He actually required. I'm recording, guys.
Sorry.
Just my roommate's walking in.
That's all right.
So I had, Richard Tyson was on my show 2 weeks ago.
Right. From
I just have all
Kindergarten
these
Cop and Two Moon Junction.
Yes. I actually he called too and he wanted to be on my show.
So I got all these celebrity admirers.
It's weird. To me, it's kind of weird because, you know, I was like, well, what has he done? I have a printing company, Final Print, and I printed over 13,000 actors headshots. So I would have people that came in and I sometimes don't, you know who everybody is. And one time I had this lady and I go, so what do you do? And my friend was dying. She's a regular on Star Trek and he was a big fan of hers. And he goes, oh my God, you don't even know who she is. But she's very nice. Everybody is. And then one time I went downstairs and I said to this lady, I said, has anybody ever told you look like Karen Black? And she said, I am Karen Black. I said, see, I was right. You look just like her.
Now, what did you cook with Richard Tyson?
To who?
What did you cook with Richard Tyson?
Oh, I made turkey burgers because by the time he got there, they got lost and they were so late and I was so hungry. I said, let's make something. I was going to make a Greek salad, but then I thought, what's fast? Because I'm starving. I was so hungry. I was like, and I made 2 pounds of it and it was gone. It was like, I had to make another whole batch afterwards because everybody ate everything. I was like, where's my food?
Right.
I'm
so that's the problem with the cooking shows is that you make the food, everybody's going to eat it.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the fun of it though, you know, and it's fun when they eat it on camera and they don't know it's going to be that good. And they're like, this is really good. And so I love those moments. I love, cooking and eating.
What's the one dish that you do really well? Your favorite dish that you
surprisingly that you it's I love spaghetti.
It's not surprising.
I love spaghetti too. Spaghetti is amazing.
I just love it, and you know you can put so much stuff in it. I like to put Italian sausage and ground meat and everything. I just and I put a lot of spices and fresh basil. I grow it on my windowsill. And so, when you add all these different things, and of course, lots of tons of garlic and fresh tomatoes, by the time you get done, you're like, I can eat a lot of pasta. I know. But remember, Sophia Loren said she owes her figure to pasta, spaghetti. Really? She said, I owe my figure to spaghetti. Ever since she said that, I went, well, I'm going to just start owing my figure to spaghetti.
I think I owe my figure to spaghetti, and my figure is not like yours or Sophia Loren's, but that's neither here nor there. If you haven't done spaghetti yet, let me make a request that Nicole and I come on and have your spaghetti. That sounds great.
Well, I've done it, but we can think of something fun.
We'll figure something out. Anyway, by the way, Nicole, here's and the audience, here's how we met. Here's how I met and we've only known each other for like a month.
Yes,
I had a what I like to call a cameo, but it's really an extra role in Dustin Ferguson's upcoming movie, Apex Predator 2.
Right.
And I walk in and this lovely lady is doing my makeup.
I see.
Which, as you can see, is quite a job. I did not have this. So, I was just, naked faced. And she's like, wow, you got really dark circles under your eyes. I'm going to have to take care of that. I'll make you look 10 years younger. And she did.
Don't you just want to have her do that like every day for the rest of your
please.
Life?
I would love to for her to do. I actually went out to a club with the makeup on just to because I look so good.
Yeah, he looked good.
I know. It's like, I got to have you do my makeup every day.
And you know what's funny? I did Richard Tyson's makeup for my show, and he texted me and he said, can I get you to do this again for a film or something? And I said, sure.
And once again, if people don't know who Richard Tyson is, he was in Kindergarten Cop is probably his most famous role. He was the villain in that. And he was also in a softcore porn with Sherilyn Fenn that I remember in the 80s that I caught on cable one time and it was very steamy stuff. But apparently
but not as steamy actor. As our turkey burgers. No.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys did with your turkey burgers. Who knows? It may have been a sequel to that movie. But
that was a good one.
So you're born in Culver City, so you've been in LA and Hollywood your whole life.
My parents worked for William Holden before I was born. And so they kind of grew up. I grew up in the Hollywood kind of atmosphere. And my mother did extra work with Marlon Brando. So she kind of got me in right away. I started when I was 3 and a half.
And was that The King and I?
No, that was later. I was the princess. It gave the speech to Deborah Carr at the very end. Plus, I was in the whole movie. It was about 3 months.
I've never seen The King and I, but it's a very famous movie that now I'm going to have to watch.
Did Nicole see it?
What?
Have you seen it, Nicole?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're talking the one with, I'm going to say his name wrong.
Yul Brynner.
Yul Brynner.
Well, I was the princess at the very end when she was going to leave to go back to England. And I gave her this whole speech. And then she decides to stay and she hugs me.
And you were just a little girl then.
Yes, that was my first big speaking role, you know. But I've just been doing stuff forever. It's just fun, though, you know. And now I'm doing a lot of voiceover things. I have three voiceover things. One is this thing called Neptune 9. And I sent you the picture. I play this thing. Michelle, her name is, and it's called Road Rage Kitty. And that's a really weird kind of, you know, 3D sort of interesting series. But then I also have a Disney kind of story. It's a children's educational puppet show, and it's called Imagica, and I play Sally the Mermaid, and that's going to be more educational, because remember, I was a school teacher. I have a credential, and I taught preschool, so I know about, you know, teaching kids little things. So I go from dark stuff to media light stuff, and then I have this horror thing called Radio Vault Mystery Theater. And I was doing that last year. I did about 12 episodes and all different characters, because I have a very, very deep voice. And then I have a very, very high voice too. So I have a lot of different characters, lots of different accents. And then when I do my magic show, I kind of do characters. And even on my cooking show, sometimes, you know, I do cowgirls and stuff like that. Just all different, because it's all fun, you know, because I think maybe I get too bored with normal things.
Well, obviously, I mean, I hate to tell you, but sounds to me like you've got ADD in the best way possible.
I know, it's kind of weird, because it's like, how can you do all these things? When I took you know how you take those career placement tests when you're in high school?
Right.
And came back 99% impractical. They said there's no way you could do all these things, because I wanted to be Betty Crocker. And so here I am cooking, and I'm kind of Betty Crocker, right?
And then they didn't even have YouTube back then.
They didn't what?
They didn't even have YouTube back
then. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that kind of was an accident. I was doing kind of a commercial for Wolfgang Puck, and he gave me this Novo Pro oven, and they said, can we get a tour of your kitchen? I go, okay. So I go, how am I going to tour my kitchen? So I gave my camera to my construction guy, and he was filming me, and I did a tour, you know, and they go, well, what are you going to cook in the oven? I go, oh, I don't know. I'll just make one pot dish. So I made something. And then they go, what else are you going to cook? So by the end of like a week and a half, people were writing in and going, I bought some scallops. What am I going to do with them? And all people started writing. And then I sent I don't want to do a regular cooking show. I have a magician friend. Let's do one. Like, cause my refrigerator broke and I had a hole in my wall. And I said, let's pretend that's a magic portal. You come through the portal. So that was what I did. And it was so popular apparently in Germany that my producer of this movie, I just did a movie called Call Me Emmanuel. That was last Monday, but he did a couple different movies. And he said, I want to put this on Amazon Prime. So that's how it all started, you know, with my cooking show.
That's great.
You never know. You just do stuff that you love, and then people will find you.
And by the way, Nicole, just so you know, all these famous names are going to be whizzing by throughout the show. Did you notice, like, oh, you know, Wolfgang Puck, we're hanging out. This is Joycelyn's life.
Well, I did Wolfgang's makeup also a while back. Coincidentally.
How extensive was that? Let me ask you a question. Whose makeup took longer, me or Wolfgang Puck?
You. No. But that's because I was doing contouring and things, you know?
No, I know.
But I love doing it. I love making people look beautiful. It's just fun. I cut hair too. I've cut hair for Chris Christopherson even. And I did Timothy Bottoms' hair once. I've just got so many different weird jobs and I never know who is going to want me to do something. So when the phone rings.
Wait, back. How does Chris Christopherson contact you to cut his hair?
It was for CBS. It was a job. It was for when he was playing the prosecutor for JonBenet Ramsey, that series or that show. And then they just called me and then he just needed a haircut. So I'm the type of person, if you need it and I can do it, I'm just going to throw it in there.
Nice.
So
why not? I think film is a collaborative process and we just want to work together and get it done. And I think it's fun.
Well, it definitely is. And you have done so many TV and movies. So you were really a child actress and you were on, and this can't be right, because this is somebody Nicole has never heard of, but you were on a Danny Thomas show?
Yes. I was with Bob Hope on the show.
You were with Bob Hope and Danny Thomas. Uh-huh. How were they?
Well, I was
a little kid.
Six. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like I had a chat with them or anything like that. But I, of course, you know, I used to watch TV with my parents and I knew, you know, who he was. And later on, I modeled with his wife. We were doing a fashion show and she ran out of lip gloss. And I remember she took butter and put it on her mouth and she goes, "This works." So sometimes
Bob Hope's wife or Danny Thomas's wife?
No, Danny Thomas's wife. I think her name is Rosemary.
Hmm.
I think so. I'm not. Yeah,
she put butter on her lips.
Yes, I remember that. See, I remember these weird things about people.
Yeah, I've heard a couple stories about Danny Thomas that are weirder than that, but I don't want to get into it. But then, from what I understand and what I've read about you, your parents are like, you know, you got to have a real job. You got to have a career.
Oh, that's why I had to go to UCLA and get a teaching credential, because they said you can't be in. Well, actually, my mother was okay.
Even though you were successful.
It was my aunt. My aunt, you know, Chinese family. My aunt goes, she's got to go not to a college. She's got to go to a university. And I was like, ugh. So I majored in theater arts. That's what I did. I wanted to be a home ec major and I went to Santa Barbara for home ec, but they didn't have it at UCLA. And all of a sudden I saw my friends on TV and I go, I should be doing this. I got to get back to LA. So that's why I just missed being, you know, on my TV shows and things. So I went back and I said, well, what credits can I use so I don't have to go any longer than I have? You know, you just want to get through it.
Right.
So then I thought theater arts. So I majored in theater arts and I minored in English. Then I started writing. So I actually wrote for the College Board of Mademoiselle magazine. And then I was also writing for advertising and stuff. And then I wrote a script called They Still Call Me Bruce with Johnny Yoon. It was a comedy.
Wait a second. You wrote They Still Call Me Bruce?
Yes.
Here's another hyphen. I thought Ross Jeffries wrote They Still Call Me Bruce.
Well, no, I wrote the sequel. He maybe wrote the first one.
Okay.
We did it in Vegas. He was playing at the Tropicana. Oh, right. My God. This is another mistake. He took me out to eat the first night and we went to an Italian restaurant. And he literally said to me, Johnny Yoon said to me, "You eat too much." That is embarrassing. He said that. So guess what? From that day forward, he only let me eat smorgasbords, all you can eat restaurants. He would not take me to a regular restaurant.
It's too expensive.
Yes. And I thought I shouldn't have done that the first night, because I had to eat everything. I know everything that was served at the Tropicana because we ate there every single day, because he would do his show and then we would meet afterwards. And then I would end up, you know, having to go through the script, you know, and then I'd stay up all night and I'd type it and I'd leave it for him. And so then when he got up at 10 or whatever, then we go over the rewrites and stuff. It was like only maybe 15 days in the whole script. And he had already hired two regular writers with the Writers Guild. And so he, you know, we argued about how much he was going to pay me, but truth be told, I had never written anything before except in college, but I didn't tell him that. I just told him I had written, because, you know, I figure how hard could it be? But I didn't even know how to do the script margins, but that's when they had typewriters, you know? So I right. said, could you just send me a copy of your old script so I could know the characters? And so I copied the margins from the old script and I just started writing stuff.
With your meek little girl voice, your meek little girl voice. Could you please give me that script with the margins? So I can do this? Yeah.
But, and then he asked me what other movies I'd written, and I was going, shoot, but I did voiceovers of these movies in the Philippines that nobody saw. So I started nailing those names out of all these right. movies. I hadn't really written anything, to be truthful.
two things here. First, I wish I had the balls to tell a woman, you know what, you eat too much after taking her out. But also, they call me Bruce, and they still call me Bruce, where parody films of Bruce Lee. It was comedies, a guy like that sort of a Bruce Lee guy, but it's a comedy.
Yeah.
And I guess Ross Jeffries wrote one and you wrote one. But, and by the way, those movies, They Call Me Bruce, They Still Call Me Bruce, are really good to watch when you're kind of in a haze, which brings me to Nicole to tell us about our other sponsor.
Well, I just ran out of CBD edibles and I'm so upset. I'm waiting for the next shipment. Hopefully it's here soon. But I like to enjoy CBD from Renegade, Kush and Renegade CBD. I still have some Kush. Like I still have some joints, but it's not the same as the edibles. The edibles are delicious. They have real candy. Like they're a real confectionist making the candy. So it's, you can tell from the quality. Also, I've tried some bad edibles, and these edibles have accurate labels because they're all done professionally and totally legal. So if you're interested, go to renegadecbd.com or renegadekush.com.
Yes. So, and watch They Call Me Bruce, and They Still Call Me Bruce, the second one that Joyce Lynn wrote, and you'll have a great time. Now, was Kung Fu the first thing that you did coming back?
No, I did a whole bunch of episodics. You know, I did like, I don't know, Fall Guy, The Magician, Golden Girls. I just did a whole bunch of Young and Restless. I did a few of those. I was on Days of Our Lives. I don't know. I just worked a lot on these little episodic things.
What did you do on the Golden Girls? I haven't seen that, but I know you were on there.
I played a hooker. I get typecast a lot as a hooker. I don't know why. Yeah, I guess I don't look wholesome.
You look wholesome to me, but yeah, I can see.
Thank you.
But you're beautiful and you got a great body, so I can understand. Like, oh wow, maybe, but because I watched last night, I watched The Big Brawl.
Oh yeah,
I've never seen before, which was Jackie Chan's first American movie.
Yeah, and we shot that in San Antonio.
And people think that Jackie Chan's been a star in the United States forever. That's not true. It took him like 20 years to break into the United States.
He was a big star more in the Orient.
Right. He was a big star in Hong Kong and China. And in the early 80s, they filmed The Big Brawl. And you play a hooker.
Yeah, I play a lot of hookers. I told you that. It's just weird because, to tell you the truth, I don't drink or do anything like that. But I just look like I do. I've had people come up to me when they're stoned and they go, you're the only person I can communicate with when I'm stoned. And I was like, is this a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
I can relate. Yeah, I can relate. I'm usually the designated driver, so I'm usually a sober person, but for some reason, people that are really, really fucked up have a real connection with me and like hanging out with me more than the drunk
See?
People. But so how was Jackie Chan? I mean, it was the first American movie he was trying to break in. I'm sure he was all under pressure.
He didn't speak English that much. He used to come in on the set and he'd go, hi, honey. And, oh, I don't. Just, you know, I don't really speak Chinese. I speak French and Spanish. And they said, can you speak Chinese? Well, of course, I know one thing. And it says, I don't speak Chinese in Chinese. So they go speak to him. And I didn't really know who he was at the time, right? So I went up to him. I said, Lom sik gong tong wa, which means I don't speak Chinese. And they go, do you understand her? And Jackie goes, oh, yes. Oh, yes. And so he never gave it away. The fact that I don't really speak Chinese, but I didn't have to anyway. So it didn't really per se matter, but you know, you try to be as like versatile and you try to say you could do whatever you know, they want you to do. You try to say, I mean, I try to, you know, just learn if I don't know how to speak something because I've done like a lot of accents, because for some reason people think, you know, because I'm Asian, I had to do a Japanese accent with a movie with Chad McQueen. And it was like, I won a contest. They ran a contest in all the schools in Japan. And the prize was a trip to Europe. And I don't even, you know, speak Japanese, but I could speak a little bit. And when I do a geisha job, this lady goes, do you speak English? And I go, yes.
Now, so what's the difference between?
I have fun just, you know, pretending I don't speak English and stuff. it's crazy, a little bit crazy, but that's me.
Now, what's the difference between a Chinese accent and a Japanese accent?
Japanese accent is like they say, like sister, they go shista, and they talk sort of slow like that. But when I do Chinese, it depends on the. Because I always have to do an accent. And I used to get pissed off. I used to go, why do I have to have an accent? But then my friend said, there are people that have accents. And so you're just doing a job. So then I realized, okay, like if you come from Hong Kong, they have British sound, a Chinese with British sound for Hong Kong accent. It's just crazy. It's just, you know, you just add a little spin to it, you know?
Right.
Just like if you were doing a Southern accent, if you did a drawl, but if you did a Texas, you'd have a little throat sound to it. It says a Texas accent, and then Southern accent with a drawl, you know, it depends on where they're from and how they talk, and also the age of the character. Like if you do a sweet little British lady, she could have a really nice accent like that. But if you did an Oxford accent, it would be more, you know, like that, you know, so they're all different. It all depends on where they're from and how old they are, and also, you know, where they were born and all that. So I try to change the accent up depending on what I have to do. It's fun.
That's very well,
yeah. That's a what are you gonna say, Nicole?
I said that was very impressive.
Oh, wait, do you see? Oh, I have a movie that came out. Tuesday, and I play a zombie, and it's really scary looking.
Oh yeah, I was going to get to that. That's Amityville Uprising.
Yes, my friend saw it. I haven't even seen it yet, but my friend works at Unified Pictures, and he goes, "Were you in Amityville?" It just came out that day, and he already saw it.
Well, you're all over the trailer. Over the trailer. Oh yeah, have you seen the trailer?
No.
You're all over it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I haven't seen the movie, but it's implied in the trailer that you're the first one that gets infected.
That's true.
Okay.
It is true. Yeah.
Trust me, you're all over the trailer.
Oh, well, you know, I went, they had like fake skin, you know, because they had all this skin on me. It was hanging down. And I said, well, don't pull it because, you know, it rips your hair out. So I said, just cut it. So I had pieces of flesh hanging from my forehead, and I had to get gas on my way home. And I have like blood marks, and I'm in line getting gas, and people are looking at me, and I'm like, what?
I'm surprised. In LA, I thought that people would that be an everyday occurrence.
Well, it was kind of in the outskirts. It was more in the valley. Like they're not quite as used to. Although you'd be surprised what you could do, because my magician, like, he was dressed as a leprechaun one day, and he said he went to the post office. Nobody blinked.
Yeah, it's true. But the valley, they have real zombies there, so that may explain it.
It was makeup very hard, guts and stuff, you know, and you know, lots of blood.
Well, I can't wait to see it. And it's funny, just we talked to our mutual friend Dustin Ferguson, because he has an Amityville movie too. It's just, I guess, you know, it's the name of a town, so you can make any movie you want based, you know, yes. Just put Amityville in it.
Well, this is a trilogy. Thomas Churchill's the director, and he made three different ones. And I think I'm in the last one, because there's three different ones. One was a nun one, and one was I don't know. I didn't see all of them. So I just know that there was a three of them that he did, but they had really good makeup artists because, you know, I do more beauty makeup and yes. they were doing like, I mean, I can do some gutsy stuff because remember when I was with you, I did that scarring thing, the guy, sure. the fish that hit him or the shark that hit him.
Right.
I like bruising. It's fun.
I'll bet. But you were featured a lot in Kung Fu with David Carradine.
Yeah, that was the largest part ever written for a female on that show. Oh my God, it was so nerve-wracking because I was pregnant. I was crying. They were trying to kill my father. I mean, all these misfortunes happened to me. And you know how when
you're pregnant for real or on the show?
Oh, on the show.
Oh, on the show. Okay.
So far, so good. No, but I actually, I had a sore rib from sobbing so much. And then I was going like this, you know, and so it was pretty strenuous. It's not easy being so emotional, you know, much.
I can imagine. And David Carradine, another eccentric kind of guy.
Oh yeah. I told him the reason he looked Asian, cause he couldn't open his eyes. Cause he was on stuff. I'm sure. I mean, he could.
How did he react to that?
Well, I think he was so, you know, kind of out of it at the time that he didn't really maybe get the joke of it, but I don't know. But we did some scenes where he couldn't remember his lines and I was trying to say them to him behind, you know, I'd go, okay, it's not. Yeah, I did that a few times. And then I had this one pickup scene and it was really sad. And I was like begging him and crying and he was eating an apple while I was doing my scene, crunching an apple in my ear. So I just had to really focus. I just really, you know, bring it home, you know, just bring it home.
Well, now we know where you learn how to handle guys like Andy Dick, because sounds like David Carradine and he had a lot of similar qualities.
Well, he was interesting. It was a really, really good part though, because I was so in the whole movie, TV, it was like, I was there for 13 days for an episodic. That's a long time.
That's good.
But it was really, really, it was difficult. And the thing is, I didn't want to say anything, but I had a fever. I was really sick when I did that because I was so worried about my part that I made myself sick. So now I don't do that anymore. I just go, okay, whatever happens, I'm just going to do it.
Right. Just pretend to be sick. It's better that way.
So I was wearing a full sweater underneath my blouse. So if I look fat, that's why.
Stop it. You're worried about looking fat over about a show that was, what, 30 years ago? Come on. Relax.
It was baby fat. That's what it was. Just baby fat. It wasn't me.
Can you believe this vanity, Nicole?
I don't think she has anything to worry about.
Right, because you have a calendar out, you model, and you started burlesque dancing.
Oh, yes. This is funny recently. Because it was, I went to Scotland. I did the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Oh, wow. How was that? I've always wondered.
It was a blast. There were like 4,000 different entertainers. But what happened was I did Big Spender, and I was wearing a Fredericks of Hollywood suit. And I stripped it off, and guess what? Somebody stole my suit.
Oh man.
Not the bottoms, but the top. It was a leopard trim black knit and it said Fredericks of Hollywood inside. And I kept thinking maybe they'll return it. I went back to the dressing room for a week and nobody returned it. They didn't take the skirt. They probably couldn't fit their big butt in it. Because the skirt was
Scotsman.
Really so that happened. That was one of my casualties.
Now, what were you doing the May East show there? Or what were you doing there?
No, I was doing burlesque, like stripping.
Okay.
I do Marilyn Monroe also. So I have a blonde wig and I have a whole Marilyn outfit. And I was doing Crime Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. So I was doing that one. And then I was doing Big Spender to like sort of Shirley Bassey.
Right.
Because I like both. I like to do the dumb blonde. I know, it's kind of weird. Oh, did you know I did a homage to Angeline?
Well, I was going to get to see, you're way ahead of me on all of these things. I was going to ask you about Angeline because I know you do graphics work for her.
I do all her printing and her t-shirts, and she's one of my best friends now. In fact, in back of her business card, she writes, printed by Final Print, my phone number. And I'm also going to be in her documentary. She's written a documentary and it's pretty fun. And she talks about, you know, things she's done. And she used to sing and she's really super nice. And we have like me, well, I was with her on Thanksgiving. I was with her on Christmas. And so.
Really?
Yeah.
What is Christmas just, like with over Angeline's house? Angeline, by the way, if people don't know, has had billboards in LA for since the 80s. And she's another, I'd love to have her on the show. She's another Hollywood original that just, she was kind of the proto Kardashian. She was famous for being famous.
Absolutely.
I saw her in her little pink convertible yesterday, actually.
In Malibu? She still drives around with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
She lives in kind of Malibu, I think.
No, she was in Hollywood, but I saw her. Like her her plate actually says Angeline on it.
Yes. And we still
She sells rides and gives away rides for you can ride with Angeline for a while. I was at one of Lenora Claire's get-togethers, and I won a free ride with Angeline, but we never got it together.
Oh,
of course she'll sell you all the stuff that you printed when you're on the ride. But I met her, and she was very nice, and you know, very briefly, just said hi to her. And but what is Thanksgiving and Christmas like at Angeline's house? Is everything pink?
We just ordered, you know, she ordered food to come in. It was at her office. Her office is all pink and leopard. And it's funny because my toolkit, remember you saw my gear and it was pink and leopard also. But I didn't know that. It's just a coincidence. And our name is spelled L-Y-N-E at the end. So
right,
the same back spelling.
Your sisters and, you know, I... both still beautiful eternally.
Well, I'm the dark side. She's the light side.
But that's why you're here.
Yeah. See,
but and you also, I mean, you, when I say you have a printing business, I mean, you've done printing for not just Angeline, but Bon Jovi, Chaka Khan, like big, big stars.
Yes. I've done Paris Hilton. I've done tons of headshots for different celebrities. You know, I did Leonard Nimoy, Martha, what's her name? Martha, the singer. She died. Martha Ray.
Martha Ray, okay.
I actually went to her wedding at the Friars Club.
I remember that one.
Were you there?
I wasn't there, but I remember hearing about it. She married a younger guy.
It's saying, you know, so he wanted to be in, you know, singing and stuff. It's very interesting because I ran into a lot of adventures that way.
Yeah, and a lot of people that
Derek, I did a movie with, and she sent John Corbett, who she was, you know, dating and living with, I think. I did all his pictures, and he had a cowboy band, and he sent me a black and white picture. So I said, you know, it'd be really cool to sepia tone it and make a sloppy border like an old time tintype. And so then I got Western type and I did several pictures. And then he said, Bo likes it. Do you want to talk to her? Nah, who wants to talk to Bo? Yeah, okay, I'll talk to her. So yeah, we did a movie called Shattered Image, and I played the other woman and I made her cry. And I just made Bo Derek cry. I was having like an affair with her husband, who was John, what was his name? The guy from Uncle, the blonde who played Ilya Kuryakin.
The name escapes me, but I know who you're talking about.
You know who he is. Oh my God, I can't remember. It's just weird. Anyway, so she came in and then he shoot her out and she goes, it was just funny because, I mean, who would have thought that I'd ever get a part like that? But once again, I was the other woman and I was, you know.
But then again, you're so beautiful. You're the woman that somebody would cheat on Bo Derek.
Well, I don't know. She's pretty famous.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, somebody which goes to show you that I forget who had said it, but they said that there's always somebody, no matter how beautiful a woman was, there's always Chris Rock said it. No matter how beautiful a woman is, there's always somebody that's tired of them. But
it's so sad.
I don't agree with that. But if I had somebody as beautiful as you or Nicole or Bo Derek, I'd be content. But
yeah, that's just, why not, right?
But
well, she's a very, very sweet. Bo Derek's very, very sweet because she sent me a ton of different clients, and I thought that was so nice of her.
But I mean, if people like Paris Hilton and Bon Jovi are using your services, Bo Derek, John Corbett, you know what you're doing.
Well, I've had
how I mean, that's that's quality.
I do also Jeff Dunham's tour books.
Right. I like Jeff Dunham. He's funny.
Yeah. And so I have a lot of, sometimes I run into people just at parties and then they come over and get pictures. You know, you never know. But of course, now there's not as much, more like fan pictures are what I'm doing, because that's when they need pictures. Before the internet, they used to need headshots just to get a job. But now it's more for fans.
Now, what did you do at Punky Brewster? That's what I want to know.
I was their teacher.
You were Punky Brewster's teacher?
Now, Punky, sit down. I had a different voice. I have all these different voices. I used to do, I don't know if
was
you remember.
Was Punky a little brat, that Punky?
No. I've met her several times. She's not.
No, I mean, on the show, she was like a little brat and you had to keep her in line.
Well, no, this was a cartoon show, actually.
Ah.
So it was just my voice. And I played an 80-year-old lady on Rambo. Rambo, could I ever ride on your motorcycle? So I just get all kinds of different things where you don't even know it's me. It's like crazy. And they had me do a baby voice on the other show. And I had to sing a baby song, too.
And not only that, you were on, I watched your reel.
And, oh, you did?
Yeah, I watched your reel, and, which was-
You're
which
so
was,
thorough.
I try. I mean, trust me, there's, I feel like I've barely scratched the surface. You got so much stuff going on, but I saw the clip from you and in the Jeffersons. You were hitting on George Jefferson.
You know how I got that part? I interviewed to be a mother and they said, you just don't look matronly. And they said, but they had a girl in the bar and I didn't even audition. They just called me directly. And I was like, that's why it pays just to go in, because you never know. They will remember you. And right. You know, I also, my hand model, I did the Pillsbury Doughboy. I punched him in the tummy.
Wait, you were the one. Wait. You were the one that did that?
I'm not the only finger, just so you know. I'm sure there's other fingers, but I was one of them.
That's great.
A life. What a career.
Also, you know, I did Kim Basinger's billboard because I'm a leg model. Remember on Sunset Boulevard, that billboard that said, my stepmother's an alien?
Right, the movie, My Stepmother's an Alien.
It was all lit up.
Those aren't her legs, those are your legs?
Yeah, and my hands and legs, yeah. And I did Sarah Jessica Parker's hands in Ed Wood. And so I've done, because, you know, I don't like to be limited to just being Asian. And my fingers weren't slanted, so I figured, why not? No.
You must have nice, let's see those hands. You must have really beautiful hands. Look at those.
These are real nails, actually. I know, it's weird, because I've always had long nails since I was 4 years old.
Wow.
But my nail bed, see how low it is? I mean, it's, in other words, my nails aren't really as long as they look, but because my nail bed is low, it makes my nails look long. But I also did hands for Barbie. So what I do is I just cut my nails down and just put clear. And then I could do little kid hands too. That's what.
Now, when you say you do nails for Barbie, what do you mean?
I did a commercial where I was a little girl's hands and I was going, get up.
Wow. This is blowing. The stuff
Barbie.
That you've done is blowing my mind.
I played Barbie at Universal Studios tour. I played a Dana doll. It was like a rocker Barbie.
Right.
And we had to dance and sing Think Pink, Born with a Mic in My Hand. Very classic Barbie bubblegum songs.
Now, I mean, you have better legs than Kim Basinger, apparently.
Well, I have a weird thing about my legs. I have a rounded kneecap. My knee bone doesn't stick out. it's just the way I was born, and it seems to be helpful for parts of knees.
Right. Well, why would Sarah Jessica Parker need a hand model?
Well, I don't think she wants. Remember that the script called Glenn or Glenda?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Well, that was me holding the script because I think maybe they just wanted to add these things, and maybe they're not going to have her come back and do all these, you know, things.
Okay, so just an insert.
And then I also body doubled for Leah Remini.
Oh, really?
It was a fantasy thing, and I was wearing a garter belt, and and this guy was like undressing me in his brain when we were in the car, and then he had this fantasy thing, and that happened. But ironically, I got a call from the director, and he started fantasizing while he was editing my body double. And then he wanted to go to dinner, and I was trying to explain him, no, I'm just, you know, this is just fantasy. This is like, it's always better in Kodachrome, you know, in your brain. But if you really meet the person, there's probably nothing there. It's just, and so I was trying to explain to him that, you know, sometimes people get caught up in, even though they're producers and even directors, and even though they know it's fake, they do get, you know, sometimes.
Well, I mean, this kind of begs the question. You've been in a attractive woman in Hollywood for years. Is the casting couch and the Me Too, is that all, you experienced all that, or you cut it off?
No, I haven't really had any bad experiences, but maybe it's because of my martial arts. No, I really haven't had any. I've had some awkward things, but I'm so used to being with, you know, guys that I know, that I just know how to wiggle out of things without insulting them, to make, I'm like, oh, that is so flattering. I am so flattered. That is so nice. And this guy goes, you're darn tootin' it is.
So you've been hit on, but nothing bad
happened, except right. One time somebody came in at night and I was by myself, and he actually got physical and slapped me across the face. But luckily I had a phone in my kitchen and I called my girlfriend, and then he goes, he heard it, and she goes, why are you calling me at 3 a.m? Is something wrong? I go, yes. And then she goes, is somebody there that you don't want to be? I go, yes. She goes, should I call the police? I go, I would if I were you. And so that's what happened.
And I would imagine tons of younger men to hit on you now.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was crazy because, you know, they don't have a clue.
Or maybe they do.
Well, I don't know. Or maybe they don't care. I don't know. Maybe,
you sell a lot of calendars to a lot of men.
Well, I actually, you know, sold a few this week, but I haven't sent them out yet because people just give me their credit card and they email me. And then I just go, okay, I'll mail it to you. And I autograph it. And last year I sold completely out of all of them, but I have one left, and it's on my refrigerator, and it's the one with the Angeline cover.
Oh, wow.
Did you see that one?
I don't think I saw that one.
It's right there. I'm just going to show you what I look like as Angeline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Please, please.
Because, you know, I do makeup.
I know from personal experience. Anyway, she's getting the Angeline calendar. This is
interesting because
look at that.
I don't know if you can see it.
I can see it. That's great.
I see it. That's Angeline right there. So talk while you're showing that.
Oh, well, this is me as Angeline.
Well, that's you. I was going to say Angeline looks great, but that's you.
It's yeah, me, but I wanted to, she didn't like the way she was being portrayed in this Netflix series. And she goes, the girl's got a big nose and she doesn't even look like me. Why don't you look like me? And I go, okay, I'll look like you. So, you know, I do hair and makeup, so I make myself look like all these different characters. So my calendar has all these different movies and characters and things that I make myself look like, which is like, this is when I went to Edinburgh. I did, I got this vintage dress. It was 1950s, Sophia Loren kind of thing. And so I bought the dress and the hat in Scotland. So now I've got the Scottish brogue.
That's cute. Very Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah. So I just like making different characters, and it's fun. So I never know. And then this dress, I got this for $3. And I only had one glove that was black and one that was white. So I just, and it was real graffiti. It was in Vegas. We shot that in Vegas.
Well, we're teasing everybody for a calendar they can't buy, but
I got a new one.
2023 will be rolling around, so.
Well, I got the new one, and I started sending that out last week.
Yeah. So you'll have to wait till 2023, and I'm sure it'll be well worth it. I don't know
where
this hour
went. Well, no, I have 2022 already, because this is 2021, but then I'm working on the next year, and it's going to be really cool. We're going to do old-time Hollywood looks, you know, like Hollywood old-time actresses. I'm going to make myself look like all these different people like I do. It's kind of weird how I make myself look like so many different people. People, I've been at parties, they don't even recognize me. I even had, you know, when I Mae West or Mae East.
Right, Mae East. I've actually seen the act. It's very funny.
They don't recognize me sometimes. I write all my own comedy too.
That's good. And when you're at burlesque, I'm sure people are surprised. They don't know. They don't recognize you.
Well, that was weird because I had a house guest and I invited her to see my show downtown. And when I started stripping, she was shocked. She wasn't expecting that. She goes, she's from England. She said, I didn't expect you to do that. I didn't know. I was like, oh, I didn't think of telling her because I just thought everybody knew what burlesque was.
Well, there's one more movie I have to talk about because you've been on, and I want to have you back because I want to talk about Married with Children. I want to talk about all this other stuff that you've done. I want to talk about your comedy. I want to talk about all this stuff, but you were in the movie Samurai Cop 2 with Tommy Wiseau, who was the mastermind behind The Room.
Yes.
Did you have any scenes with that guy?
I didn't have any scenes with him, but he is very strange, but he's very, very interesting. Very interesting guy.
I've met him, tell us a strange story about Tommy Wiseau. I got to hear this.
Well, I didn't work with him personally. I didn't have any scenes with him, but I know my friend did. And she didn't tell me anything though interesting about him. I don't know much about him other than who he was. Because also remember James Franco was in the same movie, The Room. And my dad was in Pineapple Express with James Franco.
Wait a second. Your dad was in Pineapple Express?
Yes.
You peel the onion and things just keep going. Well, your father was in Pineapple Express?
Yes.
Oh, I got to watch that now.
Well, so your father's still acting. Much. It was just a quick thing. It was when they went to visit the grandma. And the thing is, my dad wasn't really an actor, but he just had a really good look. And so I saw an article in the LA Times that said about this agent that handled older people. And I said, I knew her. And I said, hey, my dad's really cute. So I sent her his picture. And she said, your dad's really popular. And he was getting commercials. And he was on the Nick Kroll show. He was on all these things. Wow. It was crazy. And so, yeah, I just kind of let him have a career because my mother had passed away and I was trying to keep him occupied.
I'll bet he had a blast doing all this stuff, right?
And he's very funny. My dad is a natural.
It sounds like it. If he's on the Nick Kroll show and the Pineapple Express, that sounds great. You got to help me find an agent. Oh my goodness. That's
for sure. Yeah.
Are you guys both into comedy?
No,
Nicole's a writer.
I am a writer. But you know, I think Mark could definitely, like, he needs to be discovered.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have to put him on my cooking show.
We could both come on the cook. Spaghetti, whatever you want. I don't care. But that spaghetti was just, my mouth was watering. I don't know where this hour went, Joycelyn. I definitely want to have you back, but please tell us everything that you've got going on, which is going to take a while, and how people get a hold of you, your website, your social media, all of that stuff.
Okay, well, my website is my name, joycelyne.com. That's simple. It's like Joycelyn.com. Right. And I've got I already kind of told you what I'm doing, but I've got
Amityville Uprising just came out. Check that out.
That's at Walmart already. Somebody just showed me that they're selling it already.
And sure, it's on VOD and streaming and all that.
I have a streaming show on, it's called what's it called? It's called that other web show.com. And that's when I'm playing this rough and tumble kind of biker girl named Michelle. And that's on Neptune 9 is episode 11 and a bunch of ones called, it's called Road Rage Kitty. That's the one he just told me about today. And then now, of course,
what's the rough and tumbled biker voice? I got to hear this.
It's kind of like tough like that, you know, because I have like a heavy duty voice. It's kind of tough, kind of rough, you know. It depends. I have to see, you know, whatever depends on the script. But I do a soothing voice. I used to do, remember Select TV?
Mm-hmm.
I did all the promos. Robert Redford directs an adult fairy tale, The Milagro Beanfield Wars.
That was you too. Oh my God.
That was me too. I know, right? It's crazy. I know, it's really crazy because I do so many things. My friend said, I better leave before I buy something else. She literally said that to me once because, you know, I have just all these jobs. And then, so I have Cooking In with Joyce Lynn. It's on YouTube, but it's also on Amazon Prime, my first season. And then I have the calendar, which you could buy on my website. And then I have this children's educational puppet show called Imagica, I-M-A-G-I-C-A. And I play Sally the Mermaid. And I also play baby voice, just a different bunch of things. That's at Imagication Studios. That's what that's on, Imagication Studios. So we're really excited because we just got a studio and we're going to be doing some more. I've done 8 episodes so far of that.
That's great. As we've seen, you are a master of disguise, a master of voices, and you make all of us look lazy by comparison. Nicole, for what it's worth, tell us what you got going on and how people get a hold of you.
Well, I'm still working on my poetry book, which will be out soon, sometime this year. And I'm Nicole Six Books on TikTok and Instagram, and Nicole H Six on Facebook.
And I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. I had a blast. Nicole, did you have a blast?
It was super fun. I can't wait to have her back.
Yes. And Joyce Lynn, thank you so much for coming on. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week.
Bye. Creepy.